a pair of blades on the ice we cut our teeth. We took our knocks in the penalty box.
They are definitely the hottest team right now in the state of Minnesota. The Minnesota Wild keep climbing up the standings. And we haven't had this guy on for a while, but we're going to get him on more often during this stretch run as we wrap up the regular season and get ready for the postseason. We're doing this a day early. Usually we have Kevin on Fridays on a Fallness Fun Fest Friday, but Kevin is busy. He's doing some broadcasting tomorrow morning for the Minnesota State Boys Hockey Tournament. We'll talk about that tourney as well as our good friend with the Minnesota Wild Radio Network. You hear him during the broadcast we carry on Kate Radio, the one, the only Kevin Fallness. Kevin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It has been way too long. I was starting to feel insecure about my standing with you. So I'm glad to hear from you.
Yes, and we're going to do this a lot more often as our Minnesota Wild, they just keep on winning. They picked up a win against a Winnipeg last night. And let's start right there. I think the biggest takeaway from last night's game, besides the win, Kirill Kaprizov leaves the game with an injury. Talk about the play that, you know, our top player got hurt on last night.
Yeah, and watching social media, it feels like people think that it was a dirty play. I didn't really feel that way. It felt like Kaprizov, the way he does, he was trying to protect the puck. He had it in front of him. And just the way he bends and moves and all that other good stuff, he just started to bend down a little bit to protect the puck. And this Logan Stanley, which is roughly 8 feet tall, tried to bend, you know, lean over him, reach over him, and his full weight went down on top of Kaprizov, folded him in half, and the way he kind of did the splits almost, it was something that I'm not comfortable with, not many people are comfortable with unless you're in gymnastics, and so I think it caught him poorly. He ended up leaving the ice under his own power, had, you know, but you could tell he was in definite pain, in definite discomfort, and so there's no further update other than that. They have today off and won't practice again until tomorrow morning before they leave for San Jose. So that's the one you want to hold your collective breath over, that because when you talk about the Minnesota Wild, it begins, and as good as the defense is and as good as the goaltending has been, it begins and ends with Kirill Kaprizov. Without him, I don't know where this team goes, and it probably is a very short run.
Let's talk about the goaltending. Filip Gustavsson, did anybody see this coming from this guy? I mean, he has kind of taken over as the top goaltender for our Minnesota Wild. I mean, talk about his season. You want to talk about a move that's turned out to be pretty big. You signed Marc-Andre Fleury as your top goaltender, but how about Gustavsson? He has been fantastic in that.
Yeah, if anyone told you they saw this coming, they're lying to you. Gustavsson has been unbelievable. The best thing that happened to this team in the last probably 12, 24 months was Cam Talbot saying, I'm not going to sit here and back up Marc-Andre Fleury. His wife having a tantrum on Twitter, being angry about the fact of how things played out in the playoffs. I don't know if he demanded a trade, but he got one. He was sent off to Ottawa. And in return, the Wild gets some kid by the name of Filip Gustavsson, who I don't think many people knew much about. Bill Guerin had some working knowledge of him from his time in Pittsburgh, where he was originally drafted, but no one saw this coming. And what he's been able to do, you know, now he's got three shutouts on the season. He's riding back-to-back shutouts against the Calgary Flames, 6-0-3 in his last nine decisions. And is second in the NHL in goals against average and save percentage. It's bottom line incredible. I haven't seen a run like this. I know when Devan Dubnyk first splashed on the scene when he first landed in Minnesota, that was a pretty amazing run, but nobody saw this coming, and it's been fantastic because it's given Marc-Andre Fleury a little bit of breathing room. It's given that this goaltending tandem a solid 1-2 punch, and it's been fantastic to watch it develop.
Kevin Fallness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network, joining us here on Kate. And Kevin, when I woke up this morning, I almost did a double take because we know the Minnesota Wild have been playing some great hockey. They have not lost in a while. Is their point streak, is that up to, is it 11 games now? Where are they at point-wise?
9-0-2 in their last 11. Yeah, it's the tied for the second longest point streak in franchise history. They did it in 2020. The leader in the clubhouse is 13, set in the 2017 season. So, you know, just a couple away from that, but it kind of speaks to what they've been able to cobble together, despite not really scoring any goals. I know they scored four last night, including one into an empty net, but for the most point, they've been really starved for offense outside of anyone not named Kirill Kaprizov, and yet here they are, 9-0-2 in their last 11, and tied for first place in the Central Division. It's borderline ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the part. I mean, I know they've been climbing up the standings, but when I saw them, you know, tied with the Dallas Stars for a first place in the Western, is this the Western Conference, just the Central?
No, Western Conference Central Division.
Okay, so, I mean, this Minnesota Wild team, like you mentioned, Kirill Kaprizov, if he's hurt, that's going to make a big difference with this team. I want to talk about some new faces that have joined the team recently, because the Minnesota Wild, they were kind of busy at the trade deadline. Talk about some of the moves the Minnesota Wild made.
Yeah, into and around. First, they made two moves into the trade deadline, and I really thought that would be it. They bring in Marcus Johansson, who spent time here in the COVID-shortened season of 2020, bring him back from Washington, and then they go and get Gustav Nyquist from Columbus, who, you know, 10 years ago was a juggernaut there in Detroit. And right now he's injured. They take a flyer on him, very little they had to spend to get him here. So that's good. And then besides that, they were the middleman in a couple of trades done by both Boston and, Buffalo, I think? St. Louis and Boston. And so they're the middleman in those, where they just basically netted themselves some draft picks. So they take those, and you go into the final day of the trade deadline, and I didn't expect them to do much of anything. I thought maybe they might move Jordan Greenway, but I didn't expect them to do much else beyond that. But it goes right down to the wire, and Bill Guerin pulls the trigger on a couple of moves. Not only does he send Jordan Greenway to Buffalo, he goes and pulls in Oscar Sundquist from the Detroit Red Wings. Kind of a body-for-body move. They get a couple of high-end draft picks for Greenway, and in exchange they go out and get Oscar Sundquist to fill his role. Basically on the third line, another big body, a guy who likes to get in the middle of things, and they feel pretty confident. And by the way, the early returns are great. Made his Minnesota Wild debut a couple of nights ago. Last night had his first 2 points as a member of the Wild on a couple of slick passes. So early returns are great for Oscar Sundquist. And then they go and grab John Klingberg. And Wild fans that have followed this team for a while, he's been a pain in their backside for a number of years, especially with mostly the Dallas Stars. But most recently, he was there with the Anaheim Ducks and, you know, floundering on a really bad team. So they go and they grab him, an offensive-minded defenseman who I think is going to add some good punch not only to their blue line but to their power play. So, again, early returns are great on all four of the new bodies. Nyquist, you're not going to see probably to the end of the regular season, if that, and if and when they make the playoffs. Hopefully he'd have an impact there. But Johansson has been great skating with Joel Eriksson-Ek and Matt Boldy. You got Sundquist on that third line, and again, a couple of points last night. And, you know, I think Klingberg has had his moments, his ups and downs early on in his Wild career as he tries to get used to it. But he was a +3 in his debut, and, again, early returns are good for him. So those are some of the moves they made over the course of the last week and change.
Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network. The Wild are back in action at San Jose coming up on Saturday as they continue their road trip. Sunday they'll be at Phoenix taking on the Coyotes. Of course, they can't play at home this weekend because the Minnesota State Boys Hockey Tournament is going on. And Kevin, let's talk about that. Yesterday, a Class A games took place. I mentioned it off the air. Obviously, in our part of the state, we were cheering for Northfield. It was good to see Section 1A put up a pretty good fight against a very good Orono team. And no surprise, teams like Hermantown and also War Road moving on in Class A.
Yeah, it goes to the chalk. The four-seeded teams all advanced. I thought especially the latter games were pretty good. You know, War Road is supposed to be the juggernaut. People are calling them the best team in either class. But, you know, they didn't exactly I know that the final score, I believe, was 5-1 against St. Cloud Cathedral, but I thought Cathedral gave them a run for their money, but War Road advances. I thought the Northfield-Orono game might have been the best game of the evening. Orono's a plucky little squad, but Northfield gave them everything they could handle, pushing them all the way into overtime and got beat by a weird deflection by Avery Anderson in the extra frame. So they advance, and of course, Matamida and Hermantown both move on as well in the early game. So I think that'll make for a pretty entertaining semifinal game as the early contest on Friday in St. Paul. So I'm very much enjoying it. I thought day one was great. Day two, I think, will be more of the same as the Double A takes over center stage, and then you got semifinal Friday, followed by the main event coming up on Saturday as two new champions will be crowned.
We want to mention Kevin's got the broadcast tomorrow on KFAN Plus. You can find that on the iHeartRadio app. So you got both Class A semifinals tomorrow morning and early tomorrow afternoon.
Yep, Zach Halverson's doing the Double A games. I'm taking over the Single A competition from this point forward, and then we'll join forces on Saturday. I'm very much looking forward to it. I've done the state tournament for a number of years now. It's very handy. I'm down at XL Energy Center most of the time. We got all the equipment there. There's nothing like it. It's so much fun, and especially you get into those championship games and the buildings are full. The energy, the smells, the sights, the colors, everything about it's fantastic. So I can't wait. I'm excited.
No, Kevin, one thing about the boys' state hockey tournament, we always talk about hair. The guys, you know, they skate out to the blue line for the introductions. This young man from Laverne, he kind of stole the show, and he said, you know what, don't worry about hair. If you didn't hear this story, a young man from Laverne, you want to talk about a great move by him. So he skated out, and on the end of his stick, on the tape, he had wrote, "Will you go to prom with me?" I don't remember the girl that he was asking out. I mean, you want to talk about a major move by that young man, taking away all the attention from the great hair on day one. I mean, hats off and kudos to that man from Laverne.
Yeah, I don't remember her name either, but they tracked her down on social media, and apparently she said yes. So he took a picture with the "Will you go to prom with me" on his stick when he goes up to the blue line for the camera, and then she took a picture and on another stick wrote yes on the tape of that stick and put that on social media. So yeah, they blew up. The creativity of these kids is unbelievable. Typically, it's with the hair. I saw one kid shave the top of his hair, and all he had was the hair coming down from there. I think he was Laverne as well. But it's these kids are having a blast, and that's what it's all about. It's about having a good time, being with your buddies. I mean, I get goosebumps. I've got young kids that play hockey. They're not quite to that age yet, but I picture the odds of St. Louis Park making the state tournament probably aren't very good regardless, and who knows what my kids will do between now and when they reach high school age. But just picturing my kids in that scenario, having a blast with their friends and enjoying the weekend, it's something special, and it's unlike anything else in the entire country. You got your basketball, you got your football tournaments, all that other good stuff. Nothing holds a candle to the Boys State High School Hockey Tournament, and that includes both Double A, Single A competition, and it continues this weekend.
Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Kevin Faulness, the Wild right now tied for first in the Central with the Dallas Stars, and we'll try to get Kevin on every week the rest of the way as we get close to wrapping up the regular season and, of course, the playoffs, hoping for a long postseason for our Minnesota Wild. Kevin, good to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of the Estate Boys Hockey Tournament, and if it works, we'll talk again next week.
Good. I look forward to it. Thanks, Aaron. See you soon.